Well, you may have noticed a few changes during the different elements of the service, and that's simply because we live in a world of constant change. But that's nothing new. The world has been like that for a very long time. And generally speaking, there are a couple of different approaches to change. There are those people who love the pace of change and can't wait for the next change, and they get on board quick and they're ready. Now, the challenge that the uncertainty presents for people in this group of change embracers is whether or not change results in progress or not. But here's the thing, even if it doesn't result in progress, they're ready to figure out what the next change is and get on with it. The other approach to change is those who are a little more change resistant. And they tend to push back on new ideas and new approaches and new things. The uncertainty that this presents for this group of people is usually found in a sense of fear. The world is in a constant state of change. Whether we like it, whether we embrace it, whether we initiate it, whether we resist it, whether we push back on it, the reality is that none of us can stop it. Regardless of whether we are change embracers or change initiatives, change resistors, we don't have to live in fear. Over the last couple of weeks, fear and change has been thrown at us at an almost overwhelming rate. And the implications of the change that's been thrown at us has been almost staggering at times. We've gone from wash your hands to postponing major sporting events to not being able to find toilet paper at the stores to a state of stay at home during this period of time. And for many people, it has produced a sense of fear, which is certainly understandable. But we don't have to live in fear, because change can actually be used to mold us into the people that God desires for us to be. And this is something that we see in a letter written by the early church leader Paul to a first century church in Rome. And here's what he writes to the early church in Rome after establishing kind of a belief system overview. He dives into the practical and he tells them, do not conform to the pattern of this world. The word conform there means to put on the form, fashion, or appearance of another. And it holds this idea that the approach of other people is the approach that we embrace and implement in our lives. And Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world has been chaos and fear. And Paul says that we don't have to conform to that. As things continue to unfold and continue to develop, it's easy and it's understandable how fear can enter into the equation. But it's also important to know that there's a difference between being cautious and being guarded and living in fear. Yes, there is great wisdom in being cautious. There is great wisdom in being guarded. There is great responsibility in honoring the requests and the guidelines of those placed in authority over us. But those steps and those actions do not have to result in fear. Did you know that the phrase do not fear or do not be afraid is used 365 times in the biblical narrative? It's almost as if it's a daily reminder that fear does not have to be the pattern to which we conform. Another pattern that we find in times like this is selfishness. And we do not have to conform to the pattern of selfishness. It's interesting because left to the pattern of this world, left to our own devices, our own human nature, selfishness tends to be our default. We don't have to teach a two-year-old how to be selfish. Instead, we have to teach them how to share. And even though there are some of us who have to push pause and step back and consider our own well-being as we strive to consider the needs of others, most of us don't have to take a class on how to be selfish. It's just something that many people seem to be good at all by themselves. Now, it's also important to note that there is a huge difference between being selfish and being responsible. It is important that we make sure we have what we need. But selfishness tends to push beyond what we need, even if it's at the expense of what others need. Selfishness does not have to be the pattern to which we conform. There are countless stories of how selfishness has been demonstrated in the last couple of weeks. And rather than to recount any of those stories, if you want, you can just go out and Google hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Or on one of your trips to the store, you can just simply try to find some to purchase. Fear and selfishness are patterns of this world, but they are not the way that God intends for us to live, whether we are in times of crisis or not. Well, Paul goes on to continue with the alternative to the pattern of the world when he says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word that's used for transformed there in the Greek, and that's the language that Paul would have originally written this letter in, but the word that's used there is where we get our English word metamorphosis. And it communicates the idea of a change of the whole person. Not just one aspect, but the whole person. And Paul says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is the decision-making center of the human body. And renewing our mind is an internal change, regardless of external circumstances. Though external circumstances can certainly be a catalyst for internal change. But this idea that Paul communicates is an inward change that's reflected in external decisions and behaviors. This renewing of the mind leads us down the path that instead of conforming to the pattern of fear, we are able to place our trust in God and His plans and His purposes. Because even though change is thrown at us, In times of stress, in times of crisis, in when change is thrown at us when we don't expect it or maybe don't even want it, when we are caught off guard by change, God is never caught off guard by change. He's not surprised at what's happening in your life or in my life or in the world around us. Though He may be heartbroken at the havoc that sin wreaks in our world, He is never surprised by it. So it is possible to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and to place our trust in God and His plans and in His purposes rather than to be driven by fear. And renewing of our mind can also drive us to servanthood rather than selfishness. You see, Jesus, though He took time away from the demands and the responsibilities of people and stuff, His pattern was to set aside His own interest to serve and meet the needs of others. And He became the most sacrificial person in all of history. In the early church, followers of Jesus were so committed to meeting the needs of others, to serving others, that they were willing to sell their possessions to make sure that the needs of others could be served and met. I'm sure that in the early church, the supply of hand sanitizer and toilet paper would have been shared, and everyone would have had what they needed. And my guess is that today, in this moment, in this time, whether it's a time of crisis or not, that there is a need that someone has that you can meet. It may be some kind of a physical, tangible need, but it may not. It may be a phone call, or an email, or a handwritten note to encourage someone, to let someone know that they're not alone, to confirm in someone's heart and in their mind that they matter to someone. Or it could even be a step to help them place greater trust in God and His plans and His purposes. Now, Paul's not quite done. What he says next is, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The phrase test and approve there points directly to our experience in life, the way that we live, and what becomes our pattern of decision and behavior. And Paul tells us that we can test and approve what God's will is. And God's will there is as God intends for them things to be, even when things don't seem like they are as they're supposed to be. And notice that Paul says God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And those words, that phrase, carries the idea of what is unchangeably good, no matter what changes are thrown at us, and no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And the word perfect there means that which requires nothing else to be complete. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect, even in a world that is in constant change, even at an accelerated pace, as we experience from time to time. There may be someone listening right now who's living with a sense of fear. And maybe this sense of fear has been going on for longer than the last 2 weeks. I hope that you know it is possible to renew your mind, to renew the way you think, that leads to different decisions and actions on your part by placing your trust in God and His plans and His purposes. A lot has changed over the last couple of weeks. We now have stores who have set aside specific times for senior citizens to go and shop to make sure that they can get the things that they need before someone who may be a little more selfish comes in and ravages the shelves. And that specified time of shopping, that change that's been made, is a good thing. We have been challenged to rethink and to come together and work together for the good of one another And we have been given a heightened awareness of the needs of others and how they can be served and how those needs can be met. And I got to tell you, that's a good thing. That's a good change in our world. And we have been challenged to think anew about how to gather as a church and how to connect with one another and how to engage with the world around us. And that's a good thing. So whether you're living in fear, whether you're a change resistor, or whether you're living in trust and you're a change embracer, the good news is that God and His plans and His purposes are good, pleasing, and perfect. And He can be trusted no matter what change is thrown at us. We tend to fear change, but we don't have to. Because you see, change can be used to mold us and to shape us into the people that God desires us to be. As a church, we're not going to abandon our trust in God. And we're not going to abandon our connection with one another. And we're not going to abandon our engaging the community around us. And we're not going to abandon identifying and being aware of and meeting needs as best we can. We're going to adapt, and we're going to continue to discover what it is that God desires for us to do and to be. And we're going to continue to be a place where people are invited into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we're meeting in person, or whether we're gathering online, or in whatever other situation we find ourselves. The only questions that remain are, will you trust God enough to allow the changes that we encounter and experience to mold us into who God wants us to be? Let me pray for you as we begin to wrap things up. Dear God, change is difficult. And many of us aren't so opposed to the idea of change as we are to what change requires of us. And when it comes down to what change requires of us is when fear and selfishness can set in, even to the point of paralyzing us and overwhelming us. And God, it is my hope and my prayer that today, through the words that Paul wrote to the first century church in Rome, that we do not have to conform to the pattern of this world, but instead we can be renewed and transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we will then be able to test and approve what your will is, and find that it is indeed good, pleasing, and perfect. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for connecting with us and gathering with us at this time. Again, during this time, if you have a need, please make us aware. You can send us an email at hello@hurricanecommunity.church, and we will do our best to meet any need that we can. I also hope that you'll plan to gather with us again next week as we look at a message called Connecting the Stories. I think it'll challenge us in some good ways, and I hope that you'll plan to be with us, and I hope that you'll share a link or share a post or in some other way, invite someone to gather with us. Maybe by that time, you'll be able to even invite a few people over to your house and have a watch party on YouTube or Facebook. In the meantime, check out the preview for Connecting the Stories. Have a great week and stay safe.